can sit here and talk and have a good time, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, it'll be meaningless. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll guide every word that's said here in the next few minutes, and that you will empower us and allow us to leave here empowered by the Holy Spirit and allow us to live the lives that you want us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. We certainly want to give him the glory for any words that are said. I want you to think about it, and there's some coaches in the room. There can be some more coaches later. So I want you to think about if you're out there right now for any of these high schools, whether it's Batesville, Cave City, Cedar Ridge, or Southside, and you're getting ready to play, what are you doing right now? The games don't take place until about 3 weeks, right? I think September 4th is the opener for the high school teams. Razorbacks open on September 5th. So right now they're going through the grueling process, and coaches will tell players that they need to be what to be ready to play? Need to be prepared. If you're going to be prepared, just think about the preparation. The preparation takes lots longer than the games do, believe me. But if you're going to be prepared, how are you prepared? Same way we're prepared in life, right? If you're going to be a great football player or a good football player, if you're going to be solid in your Christian life, you have to be fundamentally sound, right? You hear that time all the time. You hear it all the time. When a team loses, especially a team that's going to be good, what does the coach usually say after the game? We got to go back to the fundamentals. We got to go back to the fundamentals. We got to be sound. I've seen very good football teams through all my years at the University of Arkansas, and I've seen us occasionally lose. Sometimes you can be very good and you can be making mistakes, but you're better than the other team and you continue to win anyway, and then all of a sudden, boom, you get hit. I remember 1982, we were playing Baylor. We were really good. We were 7-0. We were number 5 in the country. We had a chance to play for the national championship that year. That's been a while, I know, over 20-something years now. But we were really good. We had maybe one of the best senior classes that's ever played at Arkansas. Billy Ray Smith, Gary Anderson, Tom Jones, Steve Court, Richard Richardson. We had guys that played in the pros. We were really good. We went to Baylor. And Baylor was just so-so. And you know what happened? We got whipped. Because we thought we were pretty good. But we left the basics. And that's what happens to us in the Christian life sometimes too, right? When you leave the basics, then suddenly you get whipped and you say, well, I got to go back to the basics. So let's take a look at what the comparisons would be between the Christian life and football and the basics. If you're going to start a football team, what's the first thing you need? Equipment, offensive line, we're going to get to some of those things. But what's the first thing that you have to have? Yeah, you got to have a coach. Whoever said that, that's right. If you don't have a coach, I'm telling you, you can have everything else and you're going to struggle. Why do you think they pay these guys what they pay them right now, you know? Those are pretty good salaries if you're going to be a coach at the highest level. There's immense pressure. There's immense responsibility. But you have to have a coach. Can you imagine starting without one? I don't know if you pay much attention to all of college football. Obviously, in Arkansas, we're happy. We've got an excellent coach. I don't mind telling you. I've worked with a lot of coaches. I worked with every coach you think about in my time at the athletic department. Frank Broyles was the head coach in 1958. Now, I got there his last year, so I got to work with him. And then I worked with Lou Holtz, Jack Crow, Joe Kines, Danny Ford, Houston Nutt. So all of them except now, and I know Bobby Petrino. I don't know him well, and I'll never know him as well because I don't work with him on a daily basis. But I can tell you, I've worked with coaches. They all have attributes. They all have strengths. And so you can take Razorback history all the way back, I guess, since 1958. I've worked with a coach until Bobby Petrino. But I tell you, we have an excellent coach. We're very fortunate to have him. In fact, when you think about the search process and how it unfolded, I want to tell you, we are really blessed to have him free with the Falcons when he came. And he's going to do an excellent job at the University of Arkansas. So we've got a good coach. Georgia State is a program in Atlanta that is starting football. They're not playing this year. They're playing next year. You know what they did, the first thing they did? They went out and hired a coach. His name's Bill Curry. Maybe y'all watch him on ESPN. You can't watch him anymore because he's coaching again. But he coached at Kentucky. He was a coach at Alabama. It really wasn't a good idea for him to be one of those right after Bear Bryant because nobody was going to measure up to Bear, you know. But nonetheless, he's a coach. Well, he's working right now to get ready for them to play next year. So the first thing they did when they decided they were going to have a football program, they hired a coach. Well, we as Christians, what's the first thing that we need to recognize? We got to have a coach. And I tell you, I don't mean to in any way, shape, or form try and humanize our coach because you can't. But we got the greatest coach. You know, Jesus Christ is our coach. Now, what does this book say about our coach? This book says about our coach. Now, I tell you, Coach Petrino's good. Coach Holtz was good. You look at all these guys, you know what happens? They get old after a while and they fade away. This coach never fades away. In fact, this coach says to us, he says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. He's the coach. You can't get to God without him. Isn't that interesting? A lot of people try. They're trying like heck, but you can't do it without Christ. He is our coach, if you want to put it that way. He's a personal coach. He lives in us. He works through us. He wants to help us. He heals us. He does so many things for us. He provides for us. It's remarkable. He's the coach. Well, we got to remember that. And when we get ourselves in trouble as Christians, what usually happens? We forget who the coach is, don't we? I was listening to a message on the way up here. I love Charles Stanley. I don't know if any of y'all listen to him or not. And I love listening to him. And I was listening to this message called, you know, what when things really look difficult. You can look at America right now and things in some ways look really difficult. I don't think they're quite as tough as everybody makes it out to be, but it's not easy because we love prosperity and sometimes it's not as prosperous as we want. But you know what he says? He says, when you get things really difficult, here's the mistaken question we ask. We go to God and say, God, what am I going to do? You know what we ought to be asking? Okay, Lord, what are you going to do now? Because we got the coach, right? Why do we worry about what we're going to do? We need to be thinking about, okay, God, you know this mess. You knew it before I was even born. I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this. We got the coach. He's the greatest coach. What does he say? What does the Bible say about him? He's the image of the invisible God. We can't see God. Just think about people who are in God's presence. Moses didn't physically see him, but he was in his presence. The glory was so overwhelming that he had to put something over his head because people couldn't stand to be around the glory. It was so glorious. He's the image of the invisible God. It says that, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, when he dies, yet he shall live. Now that's a heck of a coach, isn't it? That's who I want for coach. Yeah, I liked all the guys I worked with, love them, pray for them. But I tell you, this is the one I want for the real coach, right? It's Jesus. So when we think about how we're going to stay fundamentally sound as Christians, we've got to start with the coach. Now, I can give you all these other principles, and you can obey them, and I tell you, you can have a good life, but you can't have a full life without the coach. You just can't do it. And so, again, I don't mean to demean in any way Jesus Christ's stature, but He is a personal God who lives within us. And so I've got to ask you, even as you're thinking about this, as we go through the message this morning, if you've never accepted the coach, all the rest of this is going to sound pretty good. But I would say to you, don't go another day without Him. Don't go another day without Him. Because I can tell you, the difference is the greatest contrast in the Scriptures that I've ever found. John 15:5. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, we all know there are non-Christians out there that accomplish great things in the world's view. So that's not to say you can't use anything or God can't use your talent. But of value to the kingdom, apart from Christ, you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here's the choice. Now that's all things that we're equipped to. I want to advise you that too. I can't dunk. Okay? So even through Christ's power, I can't dunk unless you lower the goal. So you got to think about that. It's not all things that we can do. We can't fly. I can't do those kind of things. But all things that God has equipped us to. So here's our choice. With Christ, without Christ, nothing. With Christ, all things. I don't know about you. I like the all things. It's a much better deal, right? So you've got to have the coach. All right? So you've accepted the coach. All right, that's the first step to fundamental soundness. And I can tell you this. You can accept Christ and you can go to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. Nothing can steal that from you. But we want to live good here too, don't we? And so if all we do is accept the coach, that's great. That's the first step. But we need the next step so we can live the prosperous Christian life. Second step is, if you got a coach, you got to be able to talk to him, right? Think about that. Now, I've been around a lot of coaches, and they're different types. Lou Holtz was a coach's coach. Any of y'all watch him on ESPN? He's funny. He's a cut-up and all that. Players were scared to death of him. And I'm serious. And the few players that built relationships with him will tell you what a wonderful man he is. But most players were scared to go in his office. And then you take, so he was replaced by Ken Hatfield, who I know has been down here in your area and at least spoken to FCA. Ken Hatfield's one of the most wonderful men you've ever been around. You want time with him, right? Well, you have to think about how maybe people scared of Holtz, liked Hatfield, I would say Bobby Petrino is one of those guys that coaches are probably, or players, a little bit intimidated by, whereas Houston Nutt was a guy, hey, come on in. Well, just think about our coach, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's easy to get to see. He welcomes us. He wants us to come speak to Him. He wants to spend time with us. It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? I worked 24 years in the athletic department for Frank Broyles. I love Frank Broyles. I'd do anything for him. But there were days when, even though I worked right across the hall from him, if I wanted to see him, I couldn't because he was so busy. If you want an appointment with Coach Petrino, I'm telling you, you better make it in advance because he's tough to get in to see. Our coach, we can see him, talk to him anytime we want to. Is that amazing? It boggles my mind that he says, come to me. He wants to spend time with us. I can't figure that out for the life of me. Why would a holy God want to spend time with me? But he does. And so how do we do that? We do it through prayer. Now, I know a lot of people might be like me. When I started getting into the Bible, I was a biblical illiterate until I was 33 years old. I just want to say that. And I got into a church that the Bible was important, started reading it, and that was good. And so even prayer, you kind of, well, what do you say? What do you say to God? You know, he's God, not me. What are we going to say? He likes to talk to us just like we're talking to each other. He likes to know what's going on. He already knows what's going on in our life. He just likes to share that. He likes to partner with us. We need prayer. All right, you're struggling with a prayer? This book's got the answer to everything, right? There are so many prayers in here, it's amazing. But if you want the one that Jesus gave us, all you have to do is pray the Lord's Prayer. You think, well, Lord's Prayer, that's pretty simple, right? You can take the Lord's Prayer and you can pray for 2 minutes or you can pray for 2 hours. You know, and you just think about it. Our Father who art in heaven, that gives you a chance to praise Him. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That gives you a chance to pray for others, to pray for every need that you might have, to pray for our country, to pray for your church. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. You have needs? There's a chance to bring them to God right there. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses. You know, it amazes me. All the churches say trespasses. The Bible says debts, but, you know, we all say trespasses. I never figured that one out. But nonetheless, forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive others. You know what that's saying? That's saying, Lord, I need forgiveness. And it's okay to tell Him what you've done. You know what? He knows it before you tell Him. Why do we try and hide stuff from God? How stupid is that? You might as well just go ahead and tell Him. Imagine Adam and Eve there in the garden, and all of a sudden it's like, oops, God, we did this. So you think God's going to figure it out? I think God had it figured out before they even did it, right? Well, we're the same way. You might as well confess. It's a waste of time not to. You go ahead and confess. You get it out of the way. You rebuild fellowship. You can't destroy relationship, but you can break fellowship. So you might as well just confess it, get it back, okay? So you pray to Him, forgive us our debts or trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. What does that mean? That means you got something against somebody else. You need to say, Lord, I release that. Think about this. How many people, Christians, are walking around carrying bitterness against somebody else? Now, how stupid is that? What could anybody do to you or to me worse than hanging Jesus Christ on a cross? Nothing. Nothing. Well, you don't know what they did. Well, they didn't do that, did they? You hanging on a cross? You dead? No. We need to release that. We need to release that. And that's part of the Lord's Prayer. And then He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute, okay? So we pray for His protection. And then we praise Him again. He's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's prayer. Communication. Got to have communication. So, okay, you got the coach. Now you're communicating. Oh boy, it's getting better, right? It's getting better. Now you're going to be a fundamentally strong football team. What's the next thing a football team does? What do they have when they report for the first day that they better have to get ready for the season? Pardon me? Got to be conditioned. But even before that, you got to have something else. You got to have a playbook. Now, can you imagine? The Razorbacks are playing Missouri State first. We ought to beat Missouri State, don't you think? That's all that, you know, everybody says, how many games are you going to win? I don't know, but we're going to win that one. I promise you that. We're going to beat Missouri State, okay? But what if our team showed up on Saturday or Friday night? What if these high school teams showed up on Friday night, Razorbacks showed up on Saturday, and Bobby Petrino, he gets them all huddled up, says, okay, it's first down, we just got the ball, what are we going to do? Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. Ryan Mallett, I want you to drop back. You guys in front kind of protect him. And let's see, Jarius Wright, why don't you run down toward that number 42 in the secondary and then cut to the right. And why don't you do... It'd be mass confusion, right? You think about a football team. They have run those plays time after time after time after time before they get there. Well, what about us? I just confessed to you, I was a biblical illiterate until I was 33 years old. I'm embarrassed to say that, but I'm also glad to say that. Because once I started reading it, I couldn't stop. It's absolutely the best book you can possibly read. This book will equip you for absolutely everything in life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says what? It says these words are inspired by God, they're written by God, through human beings, to what? Give us the plan for life. And isn't it interesting how when we get off the plan, we start opening up and say, oops, that's, and we're kind of off and wondering why. And you're, oh gosh, I forgot about that. Back to the fundamentals. And you know, the great thing is, it's not a book of don'ts. I read a book once by a guy named Ron Mayo. It was called The Ten Commandments, God's Love Letter to Us. You know, you think about it. When God says don't commit adultery, when God says don't commit murder, when God says don't steal, is that to keep us from having fun? No, it's to keep us from bearing the consequences of those things, right? Because He loves us so much. All the principles are because He loves us. Here's one I love, Joshua 1:8. You know what He told Joshua? He said, look, He said, grab this book, meditate on it, read it, think about it, soak it in, practice it, and you will be what? You will be prosperous and successful. I guarantee you, I don't care which one of these schools you go to, or the University of Arkansas, or Springdale Schools, and we got good schools, or anywhere else, there is not a teacher that can walk in a classroom and say, if you'll read any book other than this one, I promise you, you'll be prosperous and successful. Now, if the principles come out of here, they can work. But there's no guarantee. With this one, there is a 100% guarantee. It doesn't say you could be, you might be. It says you will be. You can be the most hardened atheist and follow the principles in this book. You're not going to go to heaven, and you're not going to have your spirit fulfilled. But in earthly terms, you'll be successful because these principles work. Now, here's the one thing that we tend to forget. Oh, great. Well, that means God's going to give me a good job and I'm going to make lots of money because I'm going to follow His principles. No. Prosperity to God is not how much you have in your checkbook. Prosperity to God is when you utilize the gifts that He has given you to the glory of God, and you know what prospers? Your soul. There's nothing like soul prosperity. I got to tell you, I'm a one-talent guy. You read about these guys in the Bible that 10 talents, 5 talents. I'm a one-talent person. I really am. I admit that. I'm not very good at very many things. And for whatever reason, God gave me the ability to communicate. And I love that. When I was in the 5th grade, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball broadcaster. I used to play table baseball games in my room and broadcast them while I was doing it. Now, if those of you can laugh at that. Y'all ever watch ESPN Sunday Night Baseball with John Miller? You know who John Miller is? He did the same thing. Made me feel good when I read his book. He did it. And look at where he is right now, right? He's doing ESPN. He also does the San Francisco Giants games. He used to do the Orioles games. So that's what I always wanted to do. And now you think about the privilege I have. I've done Razorback basketball. I think this will be my 29th season. I do Razorback baseball with Chuck Barrett. I did football for a while. I still do some work on the broadcast. I get to do high school games on Friday night. For 15 hours a week, I get to come in your cars and your living rooms and talk to you about sports. Well, you think about that. I just want to tell you what a privilege that is. And on the one hand, I can sit there and say, well, what's the value of that? The value of it is maybe share a few scriptural principles that people don't even know they're here listening to when they hear them. But the other thing is, I just have to tell you, that's the gift I have. My soul prospers when that happens. And I got to tell you, I know this sounds shocking, regardless of who wins the games. I love being in that booth. I love having that happen. My soul prospers. But you know what? I will tell you, before I ever go on the air, I ask God to use the words. Why would you ever want to do anything without asking God to do that? So you ask God to prosper. Well, you know what? It's all in this book. I don't know why He allows me to do that, but that's what He allows me to do. Your soul can prosper if you're a good business person, if you're a good teacher, if you're a good coach, if you're good anything. You follow the principles and your soul's going to prosper. Not everybody's going to be a pastor, but we can all have prosperous souls when we follow the principles. So you think about that. Better know the playbook, right? Football team darn sure better know the playbook. You know, can you imagine? And what happens when a player doesn't run the play right? Usually gets shouted at by the coach. Now, God's a little more generous to us. He doesn't beat on us, but He allows us to know we need to follow the playbook. Okay? So now we're pretty good shape now. We're getting better, right? We got the coach. We can communicate with the coach. We got the playbook. Better study the playbook. You know, you think about that too. It's one thing to have it. It's another thing to have dust all over it. That's pretty silly, isn't it? So if you got the playbook, what does a player do? Studies it day after day after day. Whether you spend 5 minutes in here a day, an hour, find a plan. Utilize it. Don't quit using the playbook. One of the reasons America is in the shape it's in today is even Christians aren't using the playbook. If we'd use the playbook, if our Congress would use the playbook, we wouldn't have a $10.5 trillion debt. I guarantee you that, because the playbook says you're not. That's not the way you operate. So think about that. We can be great Christians. We're going to heaven whether we open the book or not. But if you want to be prosperous here, open the book. Read the book. Okay. Next thing that you need. What do you think you're a football player? Somebody said it earlier. You need equipment, right? If you're going to go out there and play, can you imagine many of these high school teams with the Razorbacks going out there in the first game and they run out there in jerseys and shorts? Other teams got shoulder pads and helmets. Man, I guarantee that'd make you a little bit nervous, wouldn't it? Oops. You know, you got to be equipped. Well, we as Christians need to be equipped too. When you get to that part in the Lord's Prayer where it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," it's a great place to go to Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10 talks about the armor. We need to wear the armor. You know, it's interesting. If we think that, boy, once we've got Jesus, everything's going to be good and life's just going to be fantastic and we're never going to have a problem, oh boy, you better get ready, because we got an enemy out there, right? And it's interesting. I love this comparison to athletics. Think about athletics as a profession. We all want to talk about, this guy's a good coach, this guy's not a good coach. This guy can do this, this guy can do that. Well, it always amuses me when people start saying, you know, this coach, an SEC coach, whether it's one of ours or one of somebody else's, he doesn't have a clue. Wait a minute. There's 6.6 billion people in the world. 6.6 billion. 120 of them are Division I football coaches. You think those 120 don't know what they're doing out of 6.6 billion? They know what they're doing. Now, it doesn't always work out well. We know some of them don't win. They get fired. But don't tell me they don't have a clue. They do know what they're doing as far as football is concerned, okay? But we all have opposition. And you think about athletics, it's the only profession I know of other than the military where you're trained and everything you do, somebody's trying to stop you. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about anybody, you work in a bank or a business? How about if in the morning, you get up in the morning, you start your car, you get ready to go out the driveway, and there's a car blocking your way? I need to go to work. Uh-uh. We're not going to let you go to work. How about if you're there at the bank and you're trying to reach out to get money out of the thing for somebody to write a check? Bang! Somebody slams the thing closed. That's what athletics is, isn't it? We've got all these good plays to run, but somebody's trying to stop us. Why would they do that? If they wouldn't try and stop us, we'd score on every play, wouldn't we? Wouldn't that be fun, right? But there's always opposition. Well, there's opposition to Christians, too. We need to understand that. So as we understand that, we put on the armor. The armor's pretty cool. You think about it. It's pretty cool. Football players look pretty cool, don't they? The reason, it's not as personal as basketball or baseball because we can't see their faces. But let's face it. Every kid that when they grow up, if they want to play football for a guy, the uniform's part of the attraction, isn't it? Man, you'd wear shoulder pads. My son's 14. He's playing junior high football this year, 8th grade. You know, one of the big days was when they gave out the game jerseys, when he got his shoulder pads, when he's got his helmet. And his helmet already had the decal on it. Not all of them did. That was pretty cool, right? We love that uniform. We love wearing that uniform. Well, the uniform, spiritual uniform, is pretty cool too. You know what? Belt of truth. The truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. If we never forget that, we've got that truth going with us all day. Breastplate of righteousness. You think of a Roman soldier. You know what that protects? Protects our inward person. Where do we get attacked? Inward person, right? Are we righteous? No. Blood of Christ makes us righteous. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. Saying, you know, wherever we go, we need to be prepared to share the truth with other people. And we need to also be able to stand firm, just like the Roman soldiers did, on the gospel truth. And then you got the shield of faith. That's a pretty cool deal, right? I always used to image that as being kind of like a shield about like this, you know, like the knights used. And then somebody was telling me about the Roman soldiers. Theirs were like this. You know, and they're behind that, and gosh, anything shot at them. That's okay. That shield's going to knock them down. Because when the attacks come, and they come, don't they? You think about it. Discouragement. That's a weapon of the devil, isn't it? He wants to discourage everybody in this room, every one of us. And before the day's over, he'll try on all of us, me included. But you know what? If you got that shield up, bang, just deflects right off of it. Pretty cool deal, right? Need that shield of what? Faith. Got to have faith to knock it down. And then the helmet of salvation. That's a pretty neat deal. It's like that football helmet. Man, that's really cool wearing that football helmet. You know why I became a Razorback fan? I'll just tell you. I grew up in Oklahoma. I loved the Hogs on the helmets. That was the coolest thing. I thought, man, I love the Razorback. I love that. Nobody else had that. I loved that Hog on the helmet. That's what attracted me to Arkansas. So you like that helmet, right? And then what? The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. It says the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. You cut through those lies. When somebody comes up to you, wants to tell you what a cruddy person you are, now you're not going to tell them this. You're not going to say, well, I'm cutting through that with the sword of the Spirit. You know you're not a cruddy. You know you're not a cruddy person. You know you're not a bad person. You know that God has made you wonderfully, and perhaps that person doesn't agree with God right now. That's fine. Don't get into a fist fight with them or anything else. But it's okay. We need that armor. Okay? So you think about a player, coach, communicate with the coach, got the playbook, now he's equipped. Okay? You're equipped. You're ready to go out. It's opening day. You're ready. What else do you need? You're ready to go out that A. Those players talk about running out that A for the first time. They talk about it constantly. That is a big deal. What if those players have been practicing for 4 weeks? They've been giving their blood, sweat, and tears for this. They're ready to come out the A. It's at War Memorial Stadium this year. That's an exciting moment. I don't mind telling you. I love that. I remember the Cotton Bowl, January 1st, 1989. If y'all remember that day, many of y'all maybe were even there. We played UCLA in the Cotton Bowl. And at that time, our two stadiums in Fayetteville, it seated 44,000, and Little Rock, it seated 55,000. And UCLA didn't buy many tickets. We sold over 60,000 tickets to that game. 60,000. So at that time, before the expansion of Reynolds Razorback Stadium, that was the largest single gathering of Arkansans in the history of the world. Right there, January 1st. And I got to tell you, when our team came to that tunnel, and that crowd roared, and I'm getting goosebumps right now. Again, it happens every time I bring it up. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable, that roar that greeted that team. Now, did it inspire us? Well, not exactly. We had a balanced offense that day, 21 yards rushing, 21 yards passing, and we lost 17-3. But the crowd was the best part of the game. So we weren't so good in the game, but we were great in the crowd, and the crowd kept us probably in the game. Well, we need that, don't we? So just like the team needs to run out, and just think about what it would be like at War Memorial Stadium on September 5th if they come running out and the stands were empty. Woo! Would that be deflating? I've been working. I've been practicing. We've been building. Drive time, they've been talking about it 15 hours a week, and there's nobody here. Well, you think as Christians we need people cheering us on too? Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling as some do. We need each other. We need each other. If we don't belong to a church, we need to join one. Now, is every church perfect? No. Is every pastor perfect? David's probably as close as it gets. But no, pastors aren't perfect. Churches, they want to gripe at each other and all that stuff. How stupid is that? We need each other. God says we need each other to encourage each other. I guarantee you, my wife was gone for 3 years at one time, getting her master's in theological studies at Emory University in Atlanta. Fortunately, it was the time we joined the Southeastern Conference, so it allowed me to travel a little bit more in that direction. 3 years. She was gone last year, too, with another educational thing. It's the last one. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. But during that time, I got to tell you, when I would go to church, people didn't have to come up to me and say, hey, Rick, how's it going? Is it tough without your wife? Just being there with my spiritual friends was encouragement to me. That was my home. I loved going there. We need that. You know, we're all going to deal with tragedy sometime. You want to do it by yourself, or you want to do it with people with you? It's important. And believers with you who aren't just going to say, well, you know, somebody died. I wonder where they are. You know, wasn't that encouraging, right? Yeah. It's great. You ever been to one of those funerals? Well, I went to one once where I was fortunate. I had a chance to talk to my brother-in-law before he died. So I know he knew Christ, but I'm not sure anybody else knew he knew Christ. And I went to the funeral, and this lady's, I don't want to go into too many details, but the lady was kind of giving the message, and it was like, he's off in this ethereal, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, my brother-in-law's brother said, he is not, he's in heaven. Well, thank goodness he said that, you know? But you think about that. We need each other to encourage each other. So, you got the coach, now you can talk to him, you need the playbook, you need to be well-equipped, and we need each other for encouragement. You think about a football team. When things aren't going well, you know what the coach does? Guys, it's just us. And they band together. And that's where they learn. And you know, some of the greatest lessons that are taught in football are in non-winning seasons. Fans don't like it. But you know, players can learn a lot from those situations, because adversity is where you really learn. And it's where you really find out who your friends are, right? And our Christian friends should be our Christian friends, regardless of what we do, right? So now you've got support. And finally, there's one other thing that will really make us solid, fundamentally sound Christians. And it's the same thing that we do in the secular world when it comes to football. All right? Let's just say we're going to skip ahead. We're going to beat Missouri State, okay? That's no big deal. We're going to beat them. Next game is Georgia. We haven't beaten Georgia since 1993. Georgia's good. Everybody's sitting there saying, well, they don't have their quarterback, they don't have their running back. Well, they got others, and they're really good. Every year, we all lose something, don't we? And you replace them, and they keep replacing them. They're ranked in the top 15 in the country. So we're going to play Georgia on September the 19th. And that night, we'll have the largest single gathering of Arkansans in the history of the world together to watch us play Georgia. If we beat Georgia, you know what's going to happen? One, it's going to make my job a lot easier. Drive time sports is going to be so much more fun, because nobody's going to be griping. Everybody's going to be, oh, we beat Georgia, isn't that great? On Monday, they won't be able to wait till 4 o'clock comes. Some of them might even call the earlier shows because they can't. Some might even take the day off. They're so excited, you know? Let's just close down business. We beat Georgia, isn't that great? We're going to be so excited if we beat Georgia, because Georgia's good and we haven't beaten them in a long time. And that's going to be great. And we're going to be excited. Well, how about we as spiritually, fundamentally sound Christians? Are we as excited about talking about Jesus as we are about talking about beating Georgia? I just have to tell you, if it was my personal preference, and I always have to, you have to be guarded on this because you're less, I would rather go on 15 hours a week and talk about the blessings of the Lord than I would about football. Now, I love football, and football is a blessing of the Lord, but shouldn't we be just as excited about what God's doing in our life as the fact that these guys that were down on the field that we don't even know them. They just look like gladiators, but they were wearing our jersey, so we beat Georgia. And so we're going to talk about it. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about it for 15 hours the next week before we finally figure out, oop, well, we got another game. Better talk about that one, too. Got one coming up. Better not live on the past. You got to look on what's coming up in the future, right? We ought to be excited. You know, we talk about witness opportunities. I got to tell you, I'm not a good door knocker. Just taking a stranger totally and just, you know, say, okay, you know, if you know about Jesus, you know, turn or burn, that kind of stuff. I'm not too good at that. But nonetheless, we ought to be sharing our faith. Well, you know a great way to share your faith? How about if you go to work on Monday morning after your school wins on Friday night and the Razorbacks win on Saturday and somebody says to you, how was your weekend? Because they're going to ask you, right? We share these things in common. We're all going to, it was great, fantastic, had a super-duper weekend. Says, me too, man. Did you watch that Georgia game? I did. It was great. I love that Georgia game. That was the second best thing that happened to me this weekend. Second best thing? How could anything be better than that? Well, I got to tell you, our pastor gave a message Sunday morning that was absolutely fantastic. The music at our church Sunday just blew my mind. It was absolutely, it reminded me of being in heaven. I don't know what that's like, but if it's better than this, it's going to be fantastic. You think that wouldn't say something? Now, one, the person would either in disbelief say, really? Or he might say, okay, that's great, and go look for somebody else to talk to the Georgia about the Georgia game with. Or you might just leave an impression that when that person really needs somebody, you're the one he comes and talks to, or she comes and talks to. So we think about this. We're getting ready for football season. It's going to be fun. Enjoy the games. Don't cuss the coach when the game's over. He cares more about winning than we do anyway, right? You know the definition of football. Especially, let's say we'll take Reynolds Razorback Stadium. It's 70,000 people in desperate need of exercise watching 22 men exhaust themselves. So, you know, you think about these guys. They're the ones playing. They're hitting their best. You know, when our team's down and we leave, they can't leave. They got to stay. They got to keep playing until the last gun. So go to the games. Enjoy them. It is God's gift to America that we are allowed to enjoy sports. We ought to enjoy them, talk about them, and have a great time there. The best thing about athletics is the camaraderie it builds within the families. It's being in that stadium. It's being together. That's what we ought to enjoy. And leave there saying, that was great. If you do have a problem, call us. We'll give you a little therapy. and try and make you feel a little bit better, right? That's why I say after a loss, we're 3 hours a day at group therapy, and we're happy to do that. But anyway, enjoy the games. But as we think about the true meaning of life, if we're getting ready for football, and if players are getting ready for football, which they are, to be fundamentally sound, then we need to be the same way in our Christian life. One, we need to know the coach. If there's anybody in here who doesn't know the coach yet, don't leave here without getting to know him. And there are pastors here that can share that with you. I'll be happy to if you need to. Start communicating with the coach. You know, we got time to talk to everybody. Do we not have time to talk to our Heavenly Father, our Creator, the one that made us? We have time. I read several newspapers a day. I have to. I have to have a lot of information so that when people call me, I sound smarter than I am. Well, that's the only thing I do. You know, the only thing I do is read something that somebody else hasn't. Or I've talked to somebody that you haven't, and I had the privilege to do that. How can we go a day reading newspapers, watching TV, and all the things we do, and not open the playbook? It just doesn't make any sense, does it? We need to open the playbook. We need to put on the armor. That's one we usually don't think much about. But I guarantee you, if you want to get through life with fewer struggles, we need to put on that armor. We need each other. We need to encourage each other. Maybe there's somebody that you know in this very room that's going through a struggle, and a phone call this afternoon might be a pretty big deal, right? We need to encourage each other. And we need to be sharing the story. You know, we've got the greatest treasure that has ever been given. If somebody came to your door this afternoon, Ed McMahon's gone now, so he can't do it anymore, but if it was somebody else, and they said, "You won $1 million, you think you might tell somebody? Yeah, you might. "I won $1 million. That's great, right?" Well, $1 million doesn't compare to the treasure of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We need to be sharing that truth. Father, we thank you and praise you for the time together. Once again, we thank you for every life that's in this room. Father, you created us uniquely out of 6.6 billion people. Every person in here is unique, and and has gifts that no one else has. I pray, Father, that you'll allow us to take those gifts, to remember the basics of the Christian life, and to serve you and to honor you. And we thank you for the life that you have given us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray.